the larger story of all the plagues is the story of God's deliverance from death. He's weaving through these plagues the story of the Christian gospel.
And in doing so, leaving for us a legacy to pass on to our children. Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. You know, as personal benefactors of the gospel, those who understand, know, and have surrendered and submitted to God's eternal grace in Christ, we know the value of eternal life in Christ. It is a value that, as we'll see today, we should be passing on to our children. Question is, do we? It's a plague story for the children. Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. We ask you to join us there as we continue our series on the plagues. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon now with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
This morning, I invite you to turn to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. We're returning to our study in this book as we're working through it. And this morning, we come to the eighth plague. We're almost there. To their deliverance out of the land of Egypt. And this morning, this is Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, the locust plague. This is the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land so that no one shall see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and of all the Egyptians. As neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day they came on earth to this day." Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not understand that Egypt is ruined?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God, but which ones are to go?" Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters, with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." But he said to them, "The Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go the men among you and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all the hail is left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been before nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, "I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, forgive me, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God, only to remove this death from me." So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, one of the things that I think is driving a lot of fear right now for Christians living in our country is the issue of, and the question of, and the concern for our children. Our children. We basically want a safe environment for them, don't we? We basically want a safe environment for them. That they would grow up in a healthy place and they would have healthy lives and that they would be successful. And if we could pick out the dream that we have for our children, that everything would go well, that they would do well and be free from anything that would be harmful to them. We never stop and think about, though, the opportunity in the midst of how things are playing out that we have to train our children. In the events that are happening and unfolding in front of us, in the things that are happening, how they are really golden moments to train them and to be all the more vigorous in training our children and teaching them about the Lord and his power. You see, what we have before us this morning is God revealing another intention of why he's doing what he's doing. We've been looking at that. He's been sort of unfolding some of that for us and explaining that in the midst of hardship, in the midst of opposition, when it seemed that his people were losing, when it seemed that they had lost, he's telling a story. Think about this. He's telling you a story. The larger story of all the plagues is the story of God's deliverance from death. He's weaving through these plagues the story of the Christian gospel. But why is he doing this in this way? Why is he doing it in this particular way? This is really special this morning. I have to admit, when you say this is my favorite plague, it sounds strange. But this is one of my favorite plagues. The key to understanding it this morning comes in verse 2. That there the Lord said that he is doing all these things so that his people might know the Lord. What an amazing thing. What a wonderful thing. I want my people to know me. I want them to know what I'm like. I want them to understand that. I want them to see that. But not just you. One of the intentions of the plagues here that we have revealed to us is that God wants the little children to know him. God wants his little children to know him. This event was to be one of the plague stories that Israel, and it's a summary of all the plagues, that they were to look back upon and say, what a story we have to tell our children. When times are hard, and when it seemed like we were being defeated, and when it seemed like we were losing the battle, God wanted every generation to know this story. He gave us stories. And that the purpose of this morning, this plague was intended to impress upon future generations the importance of telling the story. Challenging us that as we look at the Bible and as we read the Bible, that we would tell this story from generation to generation as the central story of our lives. We come this morning to the eighth plague. The locust plague. And the Lord gives us the reasons here right at the beginning. If you look there at verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants that I may show these signs of mine among them and that you may tell in the hearing of your son, there it is, and your grandson, how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I've done among them that you may know that I am the Lord. I want you to know me. That I'm God, that I'm the Lord. The mighty things that I've done. The power that I've put on display. The power that I have. But it's interesting what he says there. The mighty things that I have done in Egypt, it has the sense, the word has the sense of mocking. It really could be translated that I have made sport of Egypt. I have made sport of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in a way that nobody had ever seen anything like. Now keep in mind, this was really the most powerful, hands down, nation at the time on the face of the earth. No one touched Egypt. And Pharaoh. That's why Israel was so terrified when they looked back and there came the war chariots. I mean, those are the bombers coming after them. And the Lord says, I made sport of them. Last week we looked at a few reasons why God did this to the Egyptians. The Lord was declaring that there was no one else like him in the earth. He wanted everyone to learn, all the nations talking about this, saying, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. There's nobody. No, all the other gods of the nations are idols. And he was doing this to declare, remember, his name throughout all the earth. That's what happened when Rahab, all the nations were talking about him. All the nations had heard about the Lord through this. But I don't know about you. As I read this first section here, I find this, and maybe it's just because it's so fresh with what we're experiencing right now in our own country. This is immensely comforting. Don't miss what Moses deliberately wanted us to think about. God hardens them again. That should be taking on some meaning for us by now. Why is God doing this? To show his power. Why is God hardening? To show his power. We think about the recent Supreme Court ruling, and I'm amazed at how discouraged Christians are and panicked Christians are. You hear people say everything's turning against us and we're losing something. You're losing what? Listen, the tide was radically against Israel and Egypt. And what you just had happen it pales in comparison to what those people were going through in Egypt. Pharaoh was known as God in Egypt. Haven't heard that from our leader yet. He took it. But I want you to notice what God told Moses to say to Pharaoh. He walks right up on into Pharaoh's palace, and listen to verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? To which you say, really? God just told us he's hardening him. And now God says, how long are you going to keep on and go being like this? And how much longer until you humble yourself, Pharaoh? How do you feel when you read that? What do you think the tone of that was? How do you think that went? He's mocking him. This comes as scorn and laughter. This is Psalm 2 playing out. How much longer will you continue to take a stand against the Lord and against his anointed? You see the effect of that? You understand the effect of that? I saw the most offensive imagery the other day. I saw our White House lit up in rainbow colors. The rainbow was God's covenant sign, commonly to this earth, that he would never flood the earth again like that. And so he put a big bow in the sky to say, I'm going to exercise patience and kindness, which Romans 2 tells us his kindness and patience has the intention of leading people to repentance. They took the sign. Our leader takes the sign and decorates the White House in it to approve of everything that's contrary to nature in marriage. Now, put this in context. Are you kidding me? How much longer are you going to continue to do these things? How much longer are you going to continue to refuse to humble yourself before the Lord your God? Shouldn't that be our attitude through this? It's almost comical that these little specks of dust are trying to do this. It's almost astonishing, isn't it? No, it's not just that. It's madness. Moses is in there and he's in chest. What are you doing? What are you doing? Much longer, Pharaoh. I think this is the most exciting time to study Exodus. This morning we get to the larger reason for why the Lord is making sport of them. And it's so special. I find this to be just special. Verse 2 comes out. I've hardened his heart that I may show these signs of mine, that you may tell in the hearing of your sons and your grandchildren, your grandsons, the things that I did in Egypt. You ever think that things have to go this way? Do you ever think that what's happening must go this way? He's ready to rumble. He's ready to come in majesty and judgment and deliver. And what a scene that's going to be. My signs that I've done among you, that you may know when you see all this unfold, when you see me make sport of this nation, you're going to know and your children are going to know I am the Lord. What a revelation of the purpose of the plagues. God wanted people to know him. When the opposition is all the stronger and he hits, you see that power shine. You see that power radiate. You see him for who he is. But I can't get away from this. I'm doing this to provide a story for you to tell your sons and your grandsons. What a God we have. He gave us stories. He gave you stories. You know children love stories. Moses, I want you to be constantly about telling the children of Israel. I want you to gather them around and I want you to tell stories. I want you to tell them this great story so that they understand me and they understand my love. Tell them the story of their deliverance. Tell them the story of their salvation, that they might know me. So the Lord is telling us specifically in this particular plague that he gave all these stories in the Bible that we might tell our children the central story of his salvation, of Christ. Children love this. I don't know how many times my daughters come up to me and my children say, Daddy, tell me a story. Tell me a story. Tell me a story. It's like it's wired in them. What a story you have. Let me tell you about this proud, evil man. You know what he wanted to do to you, children? He wanted to hurt you. He was a boogeyman. And he hurt some of our relatives. He hurt some of our children. He threw some of them in the water. And you know he wanted to do that to you too. Do you know what the Lord did for you? Do you know how much he loved you, dear children? He did something just awesome for you. He opened up heaven. He hit their water. He sent those, you know those frogs you like to play with? He swarmed them. He sent locusts down. He threw down the greatest storm, shooting cosmic bullets out of the sky. See, that's an exciting story. He sent them all into the Red Sea for you. All of these stories answer the questions of life. Children have questions. Why are we here? Who made us? Why this? Why that? Why? Where did we come from? Why did this happen? Where are we going? Who is God? Why do people act like that? Why do people do these things? Can you imagine how our children will face the future and the coming struggles that are in front of them, stuff that your generations did not know? I think will be worse for them. Can you imagine if this story is in their minds and they've embraced it, how they'll handle the future? This is what the Lord wanted. This is what he was doing. This is the first thing he said in Deuteronomy. Remember what he was telling the children of Israel to do constantly? Listen, you need to teach your children diligently. You shall talk of all of my statutes when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach them diligently to your children. The saddest phenomenon in Israel's history is when Israel got too busy to talk to their children anymore. and the knowledge of God died. And the prophets were crying out constantly, no one knows the Lord anymore. No one knows the Lord anymore. That the parents had stopped talking to their children about their faith and about the Lord. And the Lord said, because you've forgotten your God, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I'll forget your children. They didn't talk about them. And the reoccurring thing, you know, it's kind of sad that one of my experiences as a pastor is that you have generations that feared the Lord, and then for some reason the next generation seemed to just grow dull, and then by the third generation there was no spiritual life. I've sat and done funerals of people who made it to 100, and by the third generation they had totally checked out from the faith. This was a common occurrence. And the Lord always wanted people to know that one of the great purposes that we're here, one of the great purposes is that Jeremiah said, one of the great pursuits is that people would understand me and that they would know me, that I am the Lord. But what do I want them to know about me? I'm not a tyrant. I want them to know that I exercise loving kindness. I want them to understand that about me. It's why we study the Bible the way that we do. It's why we preach through books. God gave us stories. Here you're learning His character. Here you're learning Him. Here you're seeing His power.
And it's a character, it's a power, it's a knowledge and understanding of our heavenly God that we have been given the glorious opportunity and privilege of passing on to our children.
Well, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time together today found in Exodus, our series called The Plagues. To obtain a copy of today's program or the entire set, we would invite you to call or write to us here at Abounding Grace. 888-504-8805 is our number. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Another way to reach out to us, also learn a bit more about us and who we are, would be through our website, agradio.org. Abounding Grace is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and links to those sites are, again, at our website, agradio.org. You'll also find recent blogs, vlogs, and other information, as well as past programs, all housed at agradio.org. As we close out our time together today, we also would like to let you know that we do have a special running throughout the series here on The Plagues, How to Pray. Have you ever found yourself challenged about your prayer life, wish it could be more than it is? Well, recently, Pastor Chris has gone through a series called How to Pray. It's an amazing series that we are making available on a thumb drive. That's right, a thumb drive. For a gift of $15 or more, we'll send this thumb drive your way. It contains all of the messages in this series. Again, on a convenient thumb drive that you can place into just about any device that will take an MP3. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, when you reach out to us, we'll send you this wonderful resource on prayer. Reach out to us again at 888-504-8805 or by writing to us, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264, or drop us an email when you visit us online at agradio.org. Well, let's look ahead to Monday's broadcast, shall we? Once again, as we close out our time together today, here's Pastor Chris.
Our children are given as a blessing from the Lord to us, but they're not ours. Well, we idolize them today. We live in the cult of the child. It goes on here. We idolize our children. I have a question. Do you have the same passion for your children as the Lord does for your children in what's most important? Do you want them to have a successful life and good things, to live well, to be comfortable, to be pain-free, to be health, their health going well? Or do you wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, I know I'm a failure as a parent. I've wanted at times all the wrong things for my kids, but I'm asking you to give me wisdom to train them because I want nothing more than for my children to know you and to love you and to fear you.
That's Monday on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.